black thing go from left to right, and I thought, I'm going to die out here. No one's ever going to know.
And I couldn't believe what my eyeballs were showing me. I'll never forget how evil the eyes were. It was horrible. I mean, I've never seen nothing that evil.
It ran towards me at a rate that I can't even explain. Turned and stared at me. And this look of, I just want to kill you. I want to say it was human, but it wasn't.
He was yelling at me to grab a gun, grab a gun. I was like, for what? He said, just grab a gun. And there's footprints all the way to the door of my house. It had went inside my garage all the way to the door.
911, what are you reporting?
Jesus Christ, you better... Sheriff, see ya.
Hello?
Get somebody out here.
What's going on now, sir?
That son of a bitch is about 6'9", I don't know.
Do you see him now, sir?
Yes, I'm looking right at him.
Uh-oh.
You're listening to Sasquatch Chronicles. Check us out online at sasquatchchronicles.com. If you've had an encounter, email me. My email address is wes@sasquatchchronicles.com. Welcome to the show, everyone. Thanks for being here tonight. Got a great show planned for you this evening. Going to be bringing Crystal on, who comes to us from Ontario, Canada, and shares an encounter she had with this creature when she was about 15 years old, and it seemed to be residing in her barn. And, you know, most encounters you hear on the show tend to be aggressive, more violent encounters. And I've said in the past that not every encounter is necessarily aggressive or violent. This encounter reminded me a lot of the Chewbacca Man. Most of the listeners know that show I did with the Chewbacca Man, where the little kid was feeding this thing. And her encounter kind of reminded me of that. If you've had an encounter and you'd like to be on the show, shoot me an email. My email address is wes@sasquatchchronicles.com. And if you get a chance, check out the website, Sasquatch Chronicles, become a member, get additional shows. You can also go to the top of the website into the store and purchase merchandise. A lot of cool things on the website. So if you get a chance, check it out, sasquatchchronicles.com. The other interesting part about Crystal's encounter is pay close attention to the gentleman that showed up and the shots she heard and then never seeing the creature again. It was interesting. It was almost a repeat of what you've heard in the past, what seems to happen with these creatures. Let's jump into it tonight. I want to welcome Crystal to the show. Crystal, thanks for coming on.
Oh, well, thank you for having me.
Now, I appreciate you taking the time to talk about your encounter. If you would, I know this happened in Ontario, and you don't have to go into the exact location of where it happened, but if you would kind of start from the beginning, tell us, you know, what kind of time frame, how long ago was this, what were you doing, and what did you run into?
It was in the early 90s. I was 15 at the time, and my parents, we had moved out to the country, and it was kind of in the middle of nowhere. There was like 400 people in that area, and it was just all forest and farmland and houses kind of in between that. We had this amazing old barn, and it was built into a hill. And so it was the most amazing barn I've ever seen. It looked really small, but if you walked around to the back of the barn, you would go down stone stairs that were built into the hill. And that is where the door was, where they had kept all the animals. You could either go in from the loft as you walked in the door, but it was broken. The ladder was broken there, so you couldn't do that. I was just curious. So I was kind of investigating this barn. And so I went down the stairs, and the door was open. And it was heavy. It was a really old, heavy door. And I could open it a little bit. maybe a quarter of the way, but this thing was wide open. So whatever, I knew whatever opened it had to be pretty strong. And so I went up to the door and I peeked around the door, and it was a blob, basically, because they had left the hay. Whoever lived in the house before had left all the hay there. And it was in the fall, so it was really starting to get chilly, because in Ontario, we can get snow from anywhere from October on. And it was, I remember it was chilly. And so I had peeked around the door and I seen a black blob. It was blackish brown, basically. And it was, whatever it was it was in the hay. It had buried itself in the hay. Well, everybody had horses around us, so I was afraid that one of the horses had gotten hurt and had just collapsed into this big pile of hay. And so I walked in the door, and it grunted at me, and it lifted its head. And it was facing away from me, and it did that grunt. And for some stupid reason, I'm just standing there dumbfounded by this. And I said, okay, sorry. And I turned around and I walked out, and I'm like, oh my God, what the heck was that? And, you know, I didn't get to see a lot of it because it was buried in the hay, but the head popped up and it looked like a big gorilla's head. I mean, this head was huge. So I definitely knew it wasn't a horse or anything, but I just went in the house. I was just like, at 15, I didn't know what I was seeing, you know, in the environment I lived in, you didn't talk about it. I mean, Bigfoot was like the devil's, you know, some sort of either made up creature or is something the devil created or whatever have you. So I was just like, okay, that's it, you know. And I would go into the barn and I would sit up in the barn and I would do my homework and stuff just to get away from everybody. And because we always had lots of people in our house, there's people always coming and going. And I'm kind of a solitary person. I've always been happy by myself. So I would go up into the hayloft and I would sit up there, and I had a light up there, and I would just sit up there and read or, you know, do my homework or whatever. And I would always, the one time I went in, I heard the grunt through the floor. So I just came to, you know, the acceptance that, okay, well, it's going to live there. So what I would do is I would go in the door and I would bang my feet on the floor. And if it did that huffing noise, I would just turn around and walk out. It was just like, okay, we'll go inside. You do your thing. I'll do my thing. And it was for quite a few months. That's just the way it was.
What did you think it was, this thing in the barn?
I thought it was like a gorilla or something. I know it sounds bizarre, but to me it was like, because I didn't see the whole thing, and it had that big gorilla's head. Because that's what we were learning about. I was in geography and we were studying South Africa, and that's what, you know, it looked like one of those big silverbacks. It had that, you know, that pointed, not really pointed, it was more rounded, because the silverbacks have really kind of pointy heads. But this one had more of a round. So I thought it was some, you know, just some ape thing that, you know, because I heard about, you know, what is that movie? The Legends of Boggy Creek.
Yeah.
It would come on TV and my dad's like, oh, that's all foolish stuff. That's just, there's no such thing. And he turned it off. So, you know, in passing, I had heard about Bigfoot. But it was, to me, it was just a Maple Leaf or just the devil's tool sort of thing.
Yeah, and I understand that. You know, I know the religious side of things, and I've talked to people in different religions, and it is very taboo to talk about this. So I definitely understand that. So did you guys buy this home, and then you were 15, and you decided to check the barn out?
No, we were renting it.
Oh, you're renting it. Okay.
Yeah. My parents thought that I was getting into too much trouble in town, so they moved me out to the country.
Oh, I gotcha.
Thinking that I would get. And there's another thing, too. You know, listening to your show, they talk about power lines, the connection between Sasquatch and the power lines. The house that we were living in was owned by Ontario Hydro because it had the big towers. You know what I'm talking about? Those big power towers. Yeah. Where they had the big power lines, and that thing went on forever.
Yeah, I think the thing with the power lines is it's the easiest mode of travel. You'll see a lot of prey use where they cut out, because they'll level whole area out and they'll put power lines through there, and it's the easiest mode of travel. If you're ever lost, it's the easiest way. You know, you don't get from point A to point B. And I think that's the correlation with Sasquatch. Tell me about the second time that you saw this creature. So you saw him that one time.
Right, yes.
And you had heard him before. And I want to come back to the grunting, as you and I were talking before we went on air. But tell me about the second time you saw this creature.
I had an argument with my parents. And so I stormed out of the house like typical 15-year-olds do. Like I said, it's just forced everywhere. Like, I mean, it's just... you can't escape it. So I was walking down the road, and a lot of the farmers just let their dogs go. I mean, they were to protect the properties and stuff like that. And they were mean and vicious. And one of the dogs from one of the farms must have gotten away, because I looked, I heard rustling in the trees. And I looked over, and the dog was standing there just growling. And I think, if I remember correctly, it was a Doberman. And so, of course, I was petrified. And it just stood there, and I looked at it, and I'm like, okay, you need to go home now. And it was just sort of growling at me. And it was slowly moving towards me, and all of a sudden, I heard... big boom, and it was like an explosion happened in the woods. So the dog stopped, and it was looking around, and then I start moving, which was probably a big mistake on my part, but I started moving away, you know, farther down the road, and the dog just started coming at me again. He was starting to pick up speed, and then all of a sudden, boom, crack, boom. And I was like, what the hell? And the dog stopped. It started looking. It turned around and looked, and it started growling. And then it roared. It roared. And I was like, oh, my God. And you could, it was only about 7 feet because of the, I don't know, you can see some, the eyes were glowing. I don't know if it was the moon, the way the moon was hitting off them, or I just seen them. And it was just so bizarre. And the dog just started whimpering, and it took off. And by the time I looked up, because I looked down at the dog because the dog was whimpering, and the dog took off, and by the time I looked up again, whatever it was gone. And it was just the most bizarre situation. I took off running. I was just like, okay, this is ridiculous. And so I turned around, and I'm like, because I was maybe about 4 miles from my house. So I'm like, okay, I'm not wandering around in the dark anymore. And I turned around and went home. I was just like, this is crazy. Yeah. I wasn't mad anymore, I'll tell you that much.
I bet. You forget about all your problems there at that moment. And it's interesting, the reaction with the creature. You know, it's, and I've said this even on Friday's show, I talked about, you know, not every encounter is going to be an aggressive encounter. They're not, right. I don't believe that they're godless killing machines. I used to. If you had caught me on a certain day, you know, a couple of years
ago. Yes, I have. I've heard you.
You know, I'd say kill them all and let God sort it out. And the more people I had on the show, the more people I started talking to, I started realizing really quick, they don't, not all of them are like that. Not all of them have that reaction towards people. And sometimes right. encounters aren't bad encounters. You know, not every encounter is a bad encounter. I think a lot of times if you come into their area, you have to kind of look at, see what the people are doing and the creature that they run into, and you can usually make quick work of what's going on, whether the people are interrupting a hunt or they're shooting at them or, you know, but there is times where I truly don't think that these creatures mean you harm. I think if you press your luck, they'll mean you harm. But going back,
I think if you respect each other, I think that's the biggest thing. It's like you got to respect that. You know, I think they're thousands of years old. I really truly believe that, because if you look at the Native American artwork around the United States and around the world, in different countries, I mean, there has to be something to that, you know, because they just didn't make it up.
Well, and the other thing,
they had more time. They didn't have time to make up things like we do today, because, you know, they had to survive, really. They didn't have power, hydro, internet. You know what I mean? They had to hunt and you know, make everything to survive. So why would they take the time to do all that, you know, artwork and stuff?
Well, and you bring up a good point. The one thing that is fascinating about Native Americans, especially here down in the States, is they have a different, every tribe almost has a different name for it. But if you
right.
look, if they describe what that name means, it sure is interesting that a Native American tribe in Washington State is kind of talking about the same thing there in the Southwest. They're kind of talking about the same thing on the East Coast. They're all kind of describing the same thing. They just have a different name for it. And, you know, we do the same thing. We call it Grass Man. We call it Corn Man, Chicken Man, Sasquatch.
Really?
Bigfoot.
I've never heard those names before. Okay.
Yeah, if you go down south, a lot of times if you ask the people about Bigfoot or Sasquatch, nowadays I think there people know what you're talking about. But if you go back even 50 years ago, you'd be hard-pressed to find accounts. You'd almost have to know what the locals called it, whether they called it Grassman or Chicken Man or Corn Man. You know,
right.
And they would, and you can kind of describe, I mean, the name kind of describes it. You know, the Corn Man, they always saw him in the cornfields, and it was just this giant Corn Man is what they called it. And I think the Native Americans did the same thing. And going back to the grunting, I think, I truly believe, and again, this is my own theory based on witnesses I've had on the show, but when these things grunt, as you and I were talking before we went on air, I really think that is a way of them acknowledging that you're there. Gorillas do the same thing. They'll grunt, and it's not meant to be an aggressive or a threatening manner. It's meant as an acknowledgement. Chimpanzees do the same thing. And when you hear right. people that talk about it grunted at me, I really don't think that's an aggressive move. I think that's more of acknowledging that you're there.
Right, right, yeah.
Tell us about the third and final experience you had with this creature.
Okay, well, Ontario is famous for our blizzards. Like, you could get stranded. Like, you had to keep, when you lived in the country, you had to have at least a 2-week supply of food. I mean, it was stretching it a bit, but we got stuck that one. We got stuck for a week. And what happened was the blizzard was coming, so everybody's kind of, you know, scrambling to load up on water and in case the power went out, or, you know, just food and everything that we needed. You know, load up the wood in the house so that, you know, you had dry wood. And for the fireplace, if the power went out. So I was like, in the back of my mind, the creature was in the back of my mind all the time. And so, you know, I find it now you're not supposed to feed them, but I was always worried that it was hungry or whatever. So I would always throw food in the thing. And then my parents, like, we didn't have garbage men that came around. We only had, like, you store your garbage and then, you know, whenever you just took it to the dump. And so the creature would rip the garbage apart. And my dad would always say, oh, it's just the raccoons. And so, you know, it was obviously getting fed well. I was afraid that if it snowed too hard, too fast, the snow would come out the door and whatever it was wouldn't be able to get in. So what I did was I pulled the door open as much as I could. And then I threw some, what was it? I threw some apples in there. I threw some tomatoes, lettuce, the carrots in there. I just left. And then the snow started coming. It was a fast storm. And it just dumped. I mean, we had so much snow. It was up halfway up the telephone poles. I mean, and that was just like in 2 days. It's just, you know, we couldn't go to good. My brother and I thought it was fun because what we did was we climbed out because the one roof sloped over the shed that was attached to the house. And so we climbed out onto that and we kind of crawled to the front door to dig it out because it was like buried. I mean, that it was a lot of snow. And so when I finally, you know, we finally got everything cleared out, our neighbor came up with tractors and dug us out and stuff like that. And by the time I got there, the door was pushed open more. And because there was so much snow, it had basically what happened was it opened the top part of the door. That's right. It was the top part of the door. And it looked like it had jumped over the top part of the door into the snowbank that had come up because it was pretty well, it covered the bottom part of the door. And so what happened was it must have gotten the top part of the, you know what I'm talking about? The, you know, like in Mr. Ed and stuff like that, barn doors had the bottom part and they had the top part open so that air or whatever could get in there. Well, it must have jumped over that door because there was a huge trail all the way to the forest. And I was just like, oh my gosh. It was beautiful and mind blowing all at once. I think it was almost like artwork because it was like these two holes and then there would be a big, huge space and then there'd be two more holes. And that's kind of what it looked like. I thought it was kind of pretty, but it was pretty and scary at the same time.
And did you see the creature that time or was it just the...
No, just the footprints, like the big... Well, it wasn't even footprints. It was just like big things in the snow. You know what I mean? Because it was so deep.
Yeah.
And so it was just like, but they were spaced pretty good apart. I didn't measure. I didn't think to measure at the time.
No, I understand.
But there was a good, it was a really good space between. I couldn't believe the distance though, because the snow was so high. Like if you and I, it would have come up, it would have been up to my waist. And I was 5'2" at that time. And the snow would have been up to my waist. But it was like it was walking through the park. You know what I mean? It was like I would have to fight to put one step in front of the, one foot in front of the other. This thing, it was like it was walking in the park. You know what I mean? It was extremely beautiful.
Well, let me ask you. You know, your encounter reminds me a lot of, I don't know if you ever heard the episode with the Chewbacca man. And
no.
Well, this kid was feeding it. And he was feeding it chocolate and he's feeding it all sorts of things. And the guy that came on the show was the other kid that went to play with this kid. And he was feeding it and he said, do you want to see the Chewbacca man? Well, that's all the kid knew what this thing was because it reminded him of Star Wars. So he just called it the Chewbacca man. And he would go out there and he would feed it. And it would come up and it would take the food, and it was
fascinating to me that it never killed this kid. But when the other kid showed up, I guess this thing started growling at him. And he said it was just a big ape growling at him. And he didn't know what it was, and he didn't. And so there is this weird, I guess, connection you can have sometimes. And again, I think it's rare. But I wanted to ask you, did you ever stop and go to your parents? I realize the religion comes into play a lot, and sometimes you want to stay away from that subject.
I did not have a great relationship with my parents. I ended up moving out of the house, I think a year and a half after that all happened. I mean, it was,
I gotcha.
My parents were, extremely abusive, and my dad was, a really bad alcoholic and stuff. So, when they found, they found the church, my dad stopped drinking, and it just went from one extreme to of them completely ignoring us. Basically that's what happened growing up. They just ignored us, right? We were there, and it was like they took us out when, the friends came over or they wanted to put on a big family thing. But other than that, it was just, so talking to my parents really wasn't something I did.
No, I understand. I understand.
So,
did you ever talk to your brother? Do you ever think about telling your brother, hey?
Oh, yeah, we talk about it all the time. I told him the other day, and he was just, he has a really open mind about stuff. He is completely into conspiracy theories and things like that, right? So he believes, I don't know so much about that because he's younger than I am. And so, but it's we talk about it, and I completely believe in the UFO thing because I seen one of them too. And, I was a kid when I had seen it, but it's just, he and I, now we can talk about it, but back then, no, it wasn't, it was just me.
No, I understand. And the other thing too, that's and I'm sorry to hear about your folks and the whole situation. That's tough.
But you know what? We have a really great relationship now. So that's all that matters.
Yeah, no, I hear you. And, the thing is that with these creatures, sometimes you hear this, especially with young females or females. And that worries me a little bit because a lot of the encounters that I hear from, and I've talked about this on past shows, I was on the phone with a mother and her child got on the phone. She put me on the phone with her kid. And I didn't really feel right about putting it on the air, but this kid sure knew a lot. As far as descriptions go, probably one of the best witnesses I've ever spoken to was this little girl. And she describes this thing coming up to her window at night. And she describes a face and what it looks like. And I asked her if it was scary, and she said no. But she would describe it. And she's basically describing a Sasquatch. I mean, some of the best details I've ever heard. And it's one of those things to where I realize sometimes kids have good imaginations. Not this good, though. This kid knows way too much about
you. You can really tell when a child is either being coached or using the imagination, because things don't, they're not consistent. But when you have a child that has seen something, the story is consistent.
Yeah, and this kid was very consistent. And the other thing, too, is she was really quick with her answers. She didn't really have to stop and think about anything.
She was telling the truth.
Yeah, and the mother had seen it. She didn't believe her daughter, but she ended up seeing it a couple months later. But it was just fascinating to talk to this kid because this kid had so many details. And, sometimes there's that weird and it's not too far off. Sometimes with, gorillas and known primates, they tend to have a soft spot for females. And you see it with gorillas, you see it with chimpanzees. Usually they'll approach women different than they will men.
I think it has something to do with the vulnerability. Women, I think, are far more open. I think it has to do with the women are far more vulnerable. And you know what? You will ask this to any other woman and they'll tell you no, because I'm not a feminist. I don't believe in the woman. No, I believe in women's rights, and we have the right to, everything. But we're still women. I don't think we should have to compete with men all the time. We're not meant to compete with men all the time. You know, God give us the gift to give children, you know, and it's hard and everything. But we women do have a vulnerability. And I'm, you know, I'll probably get screamed at, but it doesn't matter because we do. And I really think that I'm more, because I was in a very vulnerable place, right? And I was young, kind of left on my own. And I think that has a lot to do with it, where children are another very vulnerable, you know, because they're so open to everything. They don't have any filters in their brains yet. And I think that's why, you know, the Sasquatch took to that little girl, because she doesn't have the prejudice filters in her head yet. I think they're very intuitive animals. I think they understand more than we realize they do.
Yeah, no, I understand. I mean, just like you walking in and saying, oh, sorry, and then leaving, you're not a threat at that point. There's no sense in getting up, and even from a primate, which is what I think that these things are, there's no threat at that point. I mean, I don't know exactly what they are, but my public answer would be it's a primate. But I think that there was no threat at that point. If you walking in,
right,
it just kind of acknowledged you were there, you left, and it sounded like no one ever went into that barn. Did your dad ever go into that thing, or your mom, or?
No, like I said, they would go into the garage, okay? The garage was built kind of off the barn. So they would go in the garage, they would open the door to the garage, they would throw the garbage in there, and that was it. That's all they had to do with the barn.
I got you.
I was the only one that went in there. I mean, and they sure, like, they didn't go down, because it was a bit of a hike to go down the stairs, because, like I said, they were all broken up. So they had no need to go down to that part. And so I was the only one that would go in there.
I wanted to ask you, did you ever smell anything odd when you went in there? Was there anything? I mean, I'm convinced it wasn't a bear, because if you corner a bear the way you described you're going to have some serious problems.
My grandparents lived in trailers out in the middle of nowhere, and they had gravel pits. They lived near a gravel pit, and they had bears, the black bears. They had wolves, because the wolves would come up to the house and they would just howl at night. And it was just, I know they I don't know if they knew what they were doing, but they would just come right up to the house and start howling. And my grandpa would pop off, you know, a couple shots at a time just to get rid of them, because they would just howl and howl, you know. So I know what bears look like. Definitely was not a bear.
Yeah, I don't think it was either. Especially
the smell wise, there was a couple times I did. I could think of twice. Just me going, I went into the barn. You know what? My dad had been in the garage. He had just come home from work, and he was in the garage, and he was coming out, and I was going into the barn. I was going to go read a book, and I smelt it. I went in the door, and I smelt it, and that was the only time. Whenever my dad or somebody, I think that's what it was when somebody was in the garage and didn't really know, because this was at nighttime. During, you know, there was only that couple times that I'd seen it during the day in the hay, but at nighttime, when it was really, really cold, it would go in there and I would be up top. And so, I mean, I can only think of a couple times that I smelt it. But it always coincided with somebody being in the garage. So maybe that's what it was. It didn't know who was in the garage, or, you know, it was spooked.
Did you ever go back, now that you and your parents have a better relationship, and talk to them about this today and say, hey, listen?
No, they still don't believe. So I never brought it. I just don't bring it up.
No, I hear you.
They don't believe in it. No, they don't believe in it. I have a good relationship. But, you know, it's just certain things, you know, you bring them up and they get all excited. So at this point in their lives, like, my dad's you know, they're both getting up there, and I just try to make them comfortable. You know what I mean? It's just what things are about.
I understand. I always think it's fascinating, though. You know, I've had people on the show in the past, and they'll have these things happen around their property, and usually it's the kids that see it. In most encounters, actually, usually it's the housewife or it's the kids that see it first. Usually kids, then housewife, and then eventually the husband will see it. And
see, there's the two most vulnerable people, two of the most vulnerable groups always see it first. The housewife.
You have to be careful, though, too. I realize your encounter wasn't an aggressive encounter, but in the animal kingdom, those are the easiest targets, too.
That's what I mean. That's why they probably see them first, is because they're kind of testing the waters. Are you, you know, can I make this lunch sort of thing?
Yeah.
That's the way I look at it.
Yeah.
You know, can I eat this?
No,
because that's the only, the few things that the animals think about, food and sex. That's it.
Yeah,
basically.
You're right. You're absolutely right.
So they're looking at, okay, can I eat this? And with children, it's not so hard because they're little. And with women, well, I've met plenty of strong women, but, you know, there would be easier to take than, you know, in their eyes. Because, you know, if you go by, you know, past experiences.
You know, sometimes, like I said, not every encounter is the same. Not only are the encounters like what you have, but, you know, people who have aggressive encounters, I think it really depends on the situation. And I think that creature had been staying in that barn way before you guys started renting the home. Someone may have been even feeding it. But that's the other thing, too, is you hear about them in abandoned buildings a lot. There's places down right in Texas I know of. There's a ghost town. But Sasquatch is seen constantly in this ghost town. Well, I think the reason for that is there's abandoned buildings everywhere. It's an easy shelter to go in
right
there. Obviously, no one ever bothered it in your guys' barn. And so,
right,
you know, the previous owner probably never took a shot at it. Probably didn't even know it was there. Although I do think some people know. I think some people know and look the other way. And, you know, I know your parents don't believe in it, but I bet deep down your dad must have seen tracks. Your mom must have seen tracks of this thing going in and out, especially
with
the snow.
They had seen something. Like, they had, you're right, they probably had to.
Well, and it's like the last show I had where they were camping on this farmer's, on this farm, and the farmer said, hey, you know, we got a bear on the property, be aware. And as you listen to these people's encounter, it's a little bit more than just a bear on the property. But that's how the farmer saw it.
Right.
He just said, well, we got a bear living on the property. And that really makes no sense, because bears don't just live on your property. They might come through. They might be passing through. I want to get into this guy that showed up. And you never saw the creature again. Tell us about this gentleman that showed up.
Okay. Well, what happened was, everybody knows everybody in a small town. And this guy came out of nowhere. He was in a black truck. And it was brand new, okay? And no one drove a brand new truck. You know, farmers drove farm trucks. And he pulls up beside me and he starts talking to me. And he's like, hey, I'm your neighbor, Bob, and I just wanted to introduce myself. And I'm like, okay. And he's like, hey, have you seen those big black bears that are around? I think I got one sniffing around my barn. And I said, no, I said, I'm a town girl. I try to stay inside as much. I said, and he's like, well, you're out walking around now. And I'm just like, he was just rude. He was just so, I don't know. He just, something about him creeped me out. And I said, you know, I said, I'm going to go. And he's like, well, you know, just keep your eyes out for those big black bears. And I'm like, yeah, buddy, okay. And I walked away. Like, he was trying to chat me up more, but I was just like, oh, my God, you're an idiot. And I think that's a typical 15-year-old girl dialogue back then. So anyways, I was outside smoking. I think it was about a week later. And I was outside smoking, And I heard three gunshots, but they were simultaneous. You know, they were all at the same time. And I would say it's hard to say how far away it was, because when all there is fields and stuff around, sound travels. It could have been a couple miles away, but all of a sudden, and I'll tell you right now, they were not shotguns. They were, I don't know guns. You know, I don't handle them. I don't hunt. So I can't tell you what they were, but I can tell you they weren't. They sounded like cannons going off. And there were three of them, because you can, it's kind of, it was just in succession. It was like bang, bang, bang. There's no way it could have been from one gun. Because machine guns, they have that distinct sound. I don't know what kind of guns they used. I just knew it was dead. I mean, it was so obvious, because that guy came and started asking me questions, and he did not live up the road. And so then what happened was, I was pissed, because it was beautiful. I mean, it was just, it was a gorgeous creature. I mean, so I was pissed, and I got on the bus the next morning. And well, before that, what happened was, I was sitting outside, and then the gunshot happened, and my mom heard it, and she comes flying out of the house. And she's like, "What the hell was that?" I said, "I have no clue." I said, "They must be having a party or something up the road." I said, "But I don't know what that was, because it shook the house. I mean, it was crazy loud." So I got on the bus the next morning, and I said, "Where was the war last night?" And the two girls, they lived beside each other, and they said, "Oh, my dad shot a big black bear last night." I said, "What, did he use a rocket launcher?" I'm like, I said, "Did you call, you know, what is it, Parks and Forestry or Forestry? I can't remember what we have here in Canada, but you're supposed to call and report when you shoot a bear." They were like, "I don't know." And I'm like, "Okay, whatever." And I was like really pissed. Well, that night, because I used to go for walks every night, because basically there was nothing else to do. So I would go. I was going for a walk, and the black truck pulled up, and the guy's like, you know, "Hey, how are you?" And I'm just looking at him. And he's like, "Oh, I'm sorry that, you know, we disturbed you last night. You know, there was a bear in the barn, and we had to shoot it." And I'm thinking, how the hell would a bear get in your barn? And so I said, Are you sure it wasn't a monkey?" And the guy just looked at me. "If looks could kill, I would be dead." He's like, "You have a smart mouth." I said, "Yeah, thanks a lot." And then he got this really evil look in his face. I mean, he was scary. And I just said, "No, I was joking." I said, "I understand." I said, "If, you know, there was a bear in my barn, and, you know," I said, "you had to protect your family and your animals." I said, and he's like, "Oh, good answer." And I said, "Yeah, okay, whatever." And he drove off. So I asked him if he had registered his rocket launcher, and he didn't like that one either. I figured it was a government guy.
Did you ever see the creature after this incident?
No. It was gone after that. I just knew it was, you know, because it never came back, ever.
Did you ever see that guy again, or did he actually live up there?
No. He didn't live anywhere near us. The truck was like a brand new spanking truck. I mean, it's funny because all of us kids rode the bus. Okay, and everybody had kids, and there would have been talk, "Oh, my dad's getting a new truck." You understand? That's the way it is in a small town. Like, everybody, you get excited when somebody's, you know, something, it's so mundane that when something, like somebody's buying a truck, it's exciting. It's sad to say, but that's just the way it was. And no one talked about getting a new truck. I had never seen the guy again, and I don't know who he was.
I understand. Was he Canadian or was he American? Do you know?
You know what? That's a really good question. He didn't have a Canadian accent. I, that sounds crazy, but I guess he, yeah, he, I don't know. He didn't sound, he did have an accent. I don't know where, now that I think about it, I don't know where it was from.
Yeah, that's interesting. That's a shame. Well, and that tends to happen sometimes when people have these things on their property. These guys show up, and I was curious though if he was, you know, had the Canadian accent, or if it was more American, or that's interesting. Black truck shows up and shots go off. You never hear from the creature again. That's
and I'll tell you, they were not like everybody. Okay, like I know in the States, everybody has. I think we're a lot different on our gun views, the two different countries, which I think is fascinating. But basically, you farmers have the guns. Hunters have guns. Not everybody has a gun. You know what I mean? And so, you're kind of limited basically on, well, back, especially back in the 90s. I don't know what, like, I knew shotguns and that, like I said, I don't know much about guns, but you know, I know you can't have a handgun here. You know, it's really limited on what they have, but that was no shotgun. Shotguns have a distinct sound when they go off.
Yeah.
They, you know, you bang, bang, bang sort of thing. Yeah, there is a pause. There wasn't, it was just so weird. It was just, they were, and if you could hear, like, it went bang, bang, bang. There were three guns that went off at the same time. But, of course, there's that one-second pause because not everybody fires at the same time.
Yeah, no, I understand.
And I don't know, do you know what? That's bugged me. Would you have any clue what kind of weapon it would have been?
Yeah, I would almost have to hear it. It sounds like a semi-automatic or an automatic rifle is what you hear. And it would almost have to hear it to know what it was. But that's an interesting side note to this whole encounter thing of this thing. Because a lot of times they don't, and I don't know how it is in Canada, but just because you have a bear on your property doesn't necessarily mean that Fish and Game's going to come out and kill it. They might tranquilize it, trap it, and then move it out of the area. I don't think the policy
No,
is
but that's
to-
why I said, if you, like, I know for a fact, if you kill a bear on your property, okay, you have to call Wildlife Fish and Game. You have to report it. It's basically any wild animal you kill on your property, like, because I know there's certain species that, you know, especially if they're rabid, like if you kill a rabid animal on your property, you have to call them. They have to come and get it and test it because they got to verify it just to keep everyone, everything, all the animals in check to make sure that it doesn't become an epidemic. Cause that did happen with the foxes. The foxes got rabies and then they started attacking the raccoons and the raccoons got rabies and it was a whole line of animals because there is a food chain, right?
Yeah.
So there was one year there was a really bad epidemic of rabies. So after that, they just kind of kept track of everything. So that's why I said, I hope you called, you know, you have to report that. It's illegal if you don't.
And it's strange his reaction, you know, like if he really did just kill a bear and some girl said, why he would stop and talk to you, that's a little odd for a grown man to stop and talk to a 15-year-old girl. It doesn't shock me, but that kind of raises eyebrows a little bit. But his reaction to it when you said, you sure it wasn't a monkey, you know, your normal reaction would be.
Oh, my God, you should have seen it. Yeah, would have been a laugh.
Yeah, it would have been just, hey, she's joking around. Of course, it wasn't a monkey. It was a black bear. That's what and his reaction to that, you know, and that's what these guys do, too, is they'll go out and they'll start questioning people. Hey, have you seen any bears in the area? Have you had any problems with wildlife? Have you had it? They don't come out and say what they're really there for, of course.
Exactly.
They'll talk about, you know, black bears and different problems. That's interesting. And you never saw the creature after that incident.
No, I didn't. But it's the weirdest thing that I knew they killed it. I don't know why I knew. I just knew that they killed him. I was pissed. I don't know why I was so mad, but I was mad. I was just like, you know, I love animals. And I think that's a big part of it, is that why I was so mad is that, you know, to me, every creature has a purpose on this earth, and, you know, should treasure them. And, you know, like, cows were meant to give us great steak, and, you know, but Sasquatches don't. Sasquatches, they have a purpose here.
No, I understand.
They do, but we just don't know what it is yet.
Yeah, no, I understand. I know you touched on it earlier. What's your own theory on what these things are? I know you touched on it a tiny bit, but
no, they're definitely they're Sasquatches. I think they're thousands of years old. There's no doubt about that in my mind. And okay, I'm going to throw this really bizarre theory out at you, and you can disagree, but
I like bizarre theories.
Okay, so in certain religions, they believe that during Armageddon, there is going to be a hidden tribe that is going to come from out of hiding. I'm trying to remember this. It's going to come out of hiding to fight, you know, how they have the good versus evil thing. Well, they are going to, the hidden tribe will come out and fight the evil. And I just have this theory that they are part of that tribe that is, because they're so big, they're so powerful, they're so fast. And I think they are part of the tribe for Armageddon that will come out to fight the evil. I don't think they're evil. I mean, I've heard some people say, oh, I think they're the evilest things in the world, and they're possessed, and, you know, I don't think they are. I think they're like us. They have feelings, and they get totally frustrated, and they act out like, because you look at chimps, and you look at gorillas, and when they're frustrated, man, they are, you don't want to be near them. They're very violent. They throw things, and they attack each other. So I have that theory because they've been around, like I said before, you know, the ancient Indians, Native Americans have artwork. They have passed on stories, and they didn't have time to sit around and make up stories back thousands of years ago. They had to feed themselves, they had to clothe themselves, and they had to hunt. They couldn't go to the local Walmart and pick up, you know, clothes or food. They had no internet, they had no telephones, they had nothing. All they had was each other. And so I really truly believe what they saw and what they've shared down the line is true. And I think maybe, you know, because they're so old, they are ancient animals. I mean, there's a theory that they're, what are they, what do you call them?
Nephilim.
Yeah, and
Neanderthal.
I don't think they are. I think they are their own species. I think they were put on this earth for a reason. And I think they're very special. I mean, everybody, I understand from, you know, listening to your show and things like that, that people are itching for them to come out and be recognized. I don't think they're meant to be recognized. I think they're meant to be, you know, just their own creatures. And I think when the time comes, I think then everything will fall into place.
No, I understand.
I really do.
I understand. And you could be right. I mean, who am I to say that you're wrong?
It's weird. It's really out there.
Well, I've heard stranger, so. But I'm I'm with you on it. I mean, it's one of those things where it's so frustrating because so many people have seen them, And, you know, like you were talking about with Native Americans, this goes back a long time. And even though we do have evidence that they do exist, it's not a great evidence that they exist. And it would be nice for them to, it would be nice for them to come out and to know what exactly is it. Is it nothing more than just a simple ape out there running around? Great. Is there more to it? I just want to know, what is it? Just, you know, I can handle the truth. Just tell me the truth on what they are. And, you know, if it's a simple ape, I'll accept that. If it's Neanderthal, I accept that. If it's Nephilim, I'll accept that. If it's, I just want to know what they are. And that's a frustrating part, because you get a good sense of their behaviors. But I know your encounter was more of a friendly.
But I've seen how violent it can be. And that's what scared me.
What do you mean how violent it could be?
Well, when it came to the dog, like, you know, the way it tore. I watched it. It the tree was there, and then it wasn't there no more. You know what I mean? And it bang. So you there's a sense of the strength and the violence. You know what? It reminded me of a 2-year-old throwing a temper tantrum.
Yeah, you hear a lot of witnesses say that when they see these things. I've had past guests on that said it reminded them of a little kid throwing a tantrum, the way it was just throwing a fit and was just losing, you know, losing its crap while it was just going, I mean, it was just going nuts. And so you do, and so it makes you wonder, a lot of primates will act like that. Chimpanzees are notorious for that. They'll throw a little tantrum, and they have very short tempers.
I love chimpanzees.
Well, I'm not a fan, but I get it. I get it. It's crazy that I host a show like this, because I'm not a big fan of the primate world. I don't like to watch the apes at the zoo. I don't like to see the chimp. They just kind of weird me out.
No, I do not like zoos. Zoos are a very fancy place to say that they're trying to conserve the animals, when actually, I guess you have to go behind scenes to see actually how they're being looked after. But to me, zoos are just a really fancy place to throw some animals in a cage and make money.
Yeah. No, you're right. And
it is. Yeah. You know. And that's another thing that scares me. If you actually got a Bigfoot live, I mean, it is possible to catch them live. I mean, all you got to do is trank food. They'll go to sleep. You pick it up and away you go. I mean, it's probably harder than that. But
yeah.
That's always been my theory. And I always wondered, if you could catch one alive, what the hell, how would you house it?
Yeah, I know when I did the Killing Sasquatch show, people were saying, well, you guys didn't talk about bringing one in alive. And the problem with that is you're dealing with something a lot bigger than you are, a lot stronger than you are, generally has been notorious for a short temper, if you listen to people's encounters. And
right.
There has been people that, I mean, I've had witnesses on, the lady, and I've mentioned it before, but his mother went out and she tranked what she called a gorilla that was hit by a snowplow. And she hit it with enough tranquilizers to where it should have killed it. And she did that intentionally, because she hit it with what she guessed the weight. And I want to say she guessed the weight at like 600-700 pounds. And so she hit it with that amount of tranquilizer. Well, it didn't tranquilize a thing. And then she hit it with another one because she had no way of putting it down. So she thought she'd over-tranquilize it and kill it. And it didn't kill it. The thing got up and ended up walking off. So that's the problem with it, is how much do you tranquilize something like that? And then the other problem is how long is it going to last? And then what are you going to do when it starts waking up? You're in a lot of trouble if these things.
But that's my point. How would you? It's almost like watching a King Kong movie when they catch it and they try to tie it up and try to keep it. How would you do that? I mean,
I think we have to shoot one and bring it in dead first, and then figure out that second portion. Because it's too, and no one likes to hear that, but I know everyone talks about tranquilizing one, and it sounds good, and it may look good on paper, but I think the reality of that is you're in for a world of hurt. You're better off shooting it. Because even if you go to tranquilize, here's the other thing most people don't understand. If you go to tranquilize an animal like this,
and you get it wrong, you get it wrong, it's going to go one of two ways. You're going to end up killing it anyways, or it's going to be high as a kite, and now you got an 800-900 pound animal that can rip you from limb to limb. That's high as a kite. And so what do you do then? Now you have to shoot it. So either way, you're probably going to end up killing the thing anyway. So I think it's better to shoot one, bring it in, let's take a look at it, and then worry about bringing them in alive after that.
Well, you know what's a really good example of that is I love Jane Goodall, and I was watching one of her specials. South Africa, she had opened a sanctuary there, and what happens is when the chimps come out of sedation, they hallucinate. So could you imagine you'd have this 800 or 900 pound creature hallucinating?
Yeah.
Because if they are close to being a primate, they most likely would probably have the same side effects if they are. I mean, and that's the other problem with, you know, like you said, we really don't know if they're close to us because, I mean, they do have a lot of our similarities.
You know, the other thing, too, with Jane Goodall, everyone says, oh, I do the Jane Goodall thing with the Sasquatch. Most people don't know those chimpanzees almost killed Jane Goodall. Not only on one occasion, on several occasions, they almost killed her. And it wasn't just her walking out with her notepad, sitting down and just observing everything. Those primates almost killed her on several different occasions. And I think that with Sasquatch, now take a chimpanzee and then compare it to a Sasquatch. Sitting down with a little notepad and just observing, I don't think is going to work with these things. I think your encounter was unique. Most people, they stumble upon these things, whether they're out hiking.
Everybody's encounter is unique because, you know, no one has, they're, for all intents and purposes, they're not really, you know, not everybody has encountered them. So, you know, everybody is unique.
Yeah, no. The point I was trying to make is yours was unique in the sense that it was on this property and it was using this barn as a place to just kind of chill out and stay out of the cold. Most people's encounters, though, it's hunters who are stumbling in between them and their food, or people out hiking run into them, or people out camping run into them. And I think it's a different type of situation than just it's on your property and it's using a barn for shelter. I think it's a completely different situation than
absolutely.
And that's what I meant by unique.
Yeah, that is absolutely true. Absolutely true.
Well, Crystal,
they are very crazy and unique animals.
Yeah, they are very unique. They are very, very unique. Well, Crystal, I appreciate you coming on the show and sharing your encounter. I was fascinated when I read it, and I really wanted to talk with you about the encounter because, you know, a lot of the encounters you hear are very violent encounters, and this one wasn't. And so I really appreciate coming on and sharing it.
Oh, well, thank you for having me.
And that's it for tonight, everyone. Remember, if you've had an encounter, shoot me an email. My email address is wes@sasquatchchronicles.com. Until next time, everyone. Something acquired.